chapter 6 talks about the practical changes that you can make around fear and anger and frustration. And the title of this chapter is, We Are Entitled Not Only to Be Safe, but to Feel Safe. A broad understanding about the emotions that we commonly feel around horses may help you work out the magic question, what is it that you need to know or do, a little more easily. I'm covering fear and anger and frustration in this book because these are people's most common experiences around horses. The book Pathway to Heaven on Earth also looks at sadness, grief, depression, and suicidal urges. Fear, to varying degrees, is the most common of all, with anger and frustration hot on its heels. So what are these messages from our soul about? Fear is a very important survival mechanism that warns us that we are in danger. When you're around your horse, the message about a physical danger can be as simple as, get off that horse right now, you are not safe. So what are we doing when we ignore this fear, when we climb up on our horse tight and tense? We are putting ourselves in danger and then we're staying there. We are ignoring deep messages from ourselves about how to make ourselves safe. We are entitled to not only be safe, but to feel safe. That is so big. Our horse's fear is a survival mechanism designed to keep them safe too. When we are so connected to our horse that we are feeling their uneasiness, anxiety, dread, or fear as if it is our own, we are getting the opportunity to understand that they are afraid of something. And once we understand what they are afraid of, then we get the opportunity to act and to help them get over that fear. It's that confidence that comes from having no fear that enables our horse to cooperate with us to an extraordinary degree. Can you see how much trouble we can get ourselves into when we mistakenly react as if it was our own fear and then ignore it? How can we have a beautiful conversation with our horse if either of us is afraid? So what about anger, that other so common experience around horses? Is anybody else joining me here in this being a really common feeling for you? This one has been so big for me. One of the messages of anger when we're around our horse is that something they're doing is not acceptable. It's simply not okay. It is a right and just thing that all of us has different boundaries, different things that are and are not acceptable from our horses. I know people who just love having their horses rub their heads on them. They even bend over and brace themselves, getting right down and in there with the horse pushing away and rubbing vigorously. But to me, that is not acceptable. It's not okay. I do not like to get pushed around. Some people are happy for their horses to fiddle and move around while they're doing stuff with them. But again, to me, that's not acceptable. I know that I get angry about these things, so I draw a line there and say, it's not okay to rub your head on me, and don't even think about turning on my foot or moving around when I'm saddling up. No big deal. It's easy to explain that gently and consistently. Our horse feels anger too when we've done something that is unacceptable to them. It's been my personal experience that when we haven't thought through what's okay or not okay for ourselves, we probably haven't paid much attention to what's okay or not okay for our horse either. Did everybody hear the dry Aussie understatement here? So, when we are so connected to our horse that we are feeling their anger as if it were our own, we're getting the opportunity to understand that something that is happening to them is unacceptable to them. When we let this genie out of the box, there's no stuffing it back in again. Thus, every time we feel anger when we're around our horse, we ask ourselves, whose is it? And what do I need to know or do? What do I need to change for that anger to completely go away? How can we have a beautiful conversation with our horse if either of us is angry? And the other real biggie around horses, frustration. My old friend, frustration. At one time, I seemed to live my whole life with my horse, Bobby, with small islands of satisfaction surrounded by a sea of frustration and the rage that can come from that. So what's the message of frustration? This one is so simple that I cried when I read it for the first time in Linda Kohanov's book, Riding Between the Worlds. Frustration is what you feel when you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's also the definition of insanity. It's that simple. Duh. The message of frustration is simply change it. And if that doesn't work, then change it again. The freedom that you can find in that. Our horses feel frustration too. Sometimes they almost burst with it. They're frustrated because they know there's an easier way. But the horse is stuck in our environment where we control most things and there are very few choices that they can use to change anything. So they have to largely depend on us to change it for them. When we are so connected to our horses that we feel their frustration as if it were our own, we are getting the opportunity to understand that and change it with them and for them. So every time we feel frustrated when we're around our horse, we just ask ourselves the magic questions. Whose is it? And what do I need to know or do for this frustration to completely go away? And when you're dealing with frustration, whatever it is that you need to know or do will involve changing it. And the third question is, has all the frustration gone yet? How can we have a beautiful conversation with our horses if either of us is screaming in frustration? It's useful to understand a bit about how our brain deals with emotion. With that understanding, you will be able to use this emotional connectedness to have a beautiful conversation with your horse. So here's an oversimplified version. The front part of the brain is where all the really positive action takes place. It's where we get the opportunity to change our old ways of doing emotions. It's where we make the conscious decisions, where we can consciously choose to take some action about our feelings. This is where, when my horse dives out on that corner for the umpteenth time, or drops his shoulder again, or bites me when I saddle him again, or performs poorly when we're out again, or won't stand still for the farrier again, or 101 other things that frustrate the heck out of me, this is where, when I feel that first tiny feeling of fear or anger or frustration, where I can figure out what it is that I have to change in order for that feeling to go away. And then I change it. Yep, it's that simple. And if the thought of that change doesn't make your frustration in those examples vanish, then think of another thing you can change. And if the thought of that change doesn't do it, change again and think of yet another one. Or you can make the change even faster by asking the magic questions. The first question is, whose frustration is it? The second question is, what is it that I need to know or do or change? And the third question is, has all the frustration gone yet? When we don't do something about our emotions consciously in that front part of the brain, then they get moved to the next part of our brain. The limbic system, roughly in the middle, is where we feel our emotions. That's where we feel the pain, the anger, the anxiety, the frustration, the terror, the rage, and the tears. In the limbic system, before we get too upset, we can also get an opportunity to do the four magic questions. Once I get upset though, I find it much more difficult. There's times when we don't use that feeling part of our brain, the limbic system, effectively. We bypass this part of our brain every time we try not to feel our emotions. Well, of course, who likes to feel upset? When we try to be brave on our horse, when we keep working or riding even though we're afraid, when we try not to feel our anxiety or fear, our anger or our frustration, then we can bypass this part of our brain. We also bypass the feeling part of our brain when we've become so overloaded with intense emotions that we simply can't handle anymore and we go numb. Or when the trauma has been too big to deal with, we can actually shut down this part of the brain and simply disconnect it. I've seen it, and those of you who know a lot of riders will probably know someone like this. It's someone who is so reckless that they're a danger to themselves and sometimes to others. They simply don't feel fear anymore. When the feeling part of our brain is shut down or disconnected like this, we don't feel joyfulness very easily either. And I promise you that your relationship with your horse has the capacity to fill you both with joyfulness. When we don't use the feeling part of our brain effectively, that's when the emotions get shunted to the back of the brain, where we do them physically. That's where we do our tantrums. Slam the door, kick the cat. I'm kidding. Throw the dinner at the husband. I'm not kidding. Punch someone's lights out. Hopefully not. Have that uncontrollable urge to crack a horse over the butt with a whip. If this is you, take a deep breath and let that go, because you're not going to have to go there anymore. By the time we're operating from this part of our brain, we are past asking the magic questions. We're acting on old patterns that we established in the past, whether they were useful to us or not. This part of the brain is also where we can use physical effort to release the emotion. We can run until we are so tired that we drop. We can use a punching bag. We can use music and dance to release emotions instead of burying them. And in some cases, with cooperation from a really extraordinary horse, we can ride it off. If we don't deal with it physically, then the brain sends the emotion down to be stored in the body. It buries it. It's an ingenious mechanism that clears the brain for the next lot of emotions. Otherwise, we'd go mad with all these emotions swirling around at the same time. In the past, I so desperately tried to be brave on a horse that I pushed fear after fear down into my body, burying it down there until I was so tight and tense that I started to get serious physical repercussions. Migraine strength headaches and a really bad back that was crippling me. And the fear that we've buried doesn't have to be about horses for it to affect what we feel when we're with our horses. And the worst part about these buried emotions is that when we feel the same emotion sometime in the future, the old feelings that we didn't do anything about in the past come welling back up, often hugely intensifying what we're feeling about the current situation, making it bigger, stronger, and more uncontrollable. And remember, fear intensifies into rage if you bury enough of it. To make it worse, emotions buried are cumulative. That is, each little one is added on top of the last one until you have a giant that can be made up of small things or a combination of large and small things. Often these quite small things fester away, added to by other things that are not so important, until you have a major upset about something that is really quite small. This is how some quite good riders can lose their nerve, and they don't really understand why. They've just pushed down one too many fears or anxieties, and the body can't hold any more. And remember, it doesn't have to be fear about horses either. All fear is cumulative, added to each other. But even when they've lost their nerve, all they have to do to get rid of the fear is to ask the magic questions. Whose fear is it? What do I need to know or do? Has all the fear gone yet? This is also how otherwise beautiful people can be filled with rage and lose their tempers with their horse about something that really wasn't that important. Fear, anger, and frustration, grief too when you don't deal with them all have the capacity for the old buried emotions to come whooshing back up and intensify into bigger anger and rage. Notice that. That's another incredibly important point that is way too easily lost in a single sentence. Yes, fear intensifies into anger and rage. Lots of my anger was related to fear, and lots of my anger belonged to my horse, and his anger was his fear intensified because he couldn't do anything, couldn't take any action about his fear. Ooh, that's going to change things for a lot of us, hey? Horses, as a reflection of their personality, deal with their emotions through different parts of their brain in a similar way to people. Some of them are so generous and bury their emotions as a matter of routine, eventually causing major body problems and physical breakdown. We talked earlier about the healing process that your horse can go through when we're waiting for the chew, when he looks like he's dreaming. That's what he's doing. He's letting go of some of those old emotions that he buried when he couldn't change anything about his fear or anger or frustration or sadness. He's starting the healing of those body problems. Can you understand a bit more now about why I said that the waiting for the chew, waiting for that processing to take place, is the most important and productive time that you'll spend with your horse? Other horses are more expressive and let you know that they're afraid or angry. Then there are some who've been burying more and more fear until they simply can't bury anymore and go off like a volcano. These horses often get labelled as dangerous, but they are just so desperate they're gonna burst. And if you've got one of these, you're in for a real treat. So how does understanding how the brain works help us with dealing with our own emotions? The four magic questions that we talked about earlier are one of the many ways to do your emotions consciously in that front part of the brain. I like the magic questions because they're easy to do straight away and you can do them on the run, so to speak. That's when they are the first tiny little feelings of not quite right.